Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Morning. Good morning, Fusion Church. Amen. Can you guys hear me okay this morning? All right. Well, it's Freedom Friday, and freedom is coming real soon for a lot of you guys out there. I know God has been working, and a lot of you guys have been teaching, and I know the results are going to be very fruitful. You know, today we are in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Father God, I just thank you for this time that you have given us, Lord God. I thank you for your word. Speak to us, Father God, let it be you and not me, oh Lord God. I thank you in advance for what you're doing, what you have done, and what you're going to continue to do. We give you the praise, we give you the glory, we give you the honor, because you deserve it all, Father. Thank you, Jesus, so much for all that you do for us. In Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. All right. That stretch there. Okay, so we are in 2 Timothy 1. Let us begin. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers day and night, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gifts of God, which is in you through the laying of my hands. 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of a power of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and has called us to a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. 11, to which I have been appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher to the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believe, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. 13, hold fast the pattern of sound words, which you have heard from me in faith, in love, which are in Christ Jesus. The good things which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. This you know, that all of those in Asia have turned away from me. Among those Pigliarus and Hermanius. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onuphrius, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very jealously and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me in Ephesus. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. You know, this is a small book, but it's such a good book. You know, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus were known as the pastoral epistles because it was written not directly to the church, but it was written, you know, to somebody that was leading the church, one that was in a pastoral role. Of course, the author of this particular book was Paul, you know, and he was there to discuss certain teachings, but also to affirm the leader. You know, he was affirming the leader, you know, and Paul, he has such a loving heart. And you can see that in his letters, and especially in the introduction. You hear Paul in verse 1 said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. And he says to Timothy, you know, a beloved son, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father. You know, Paul, you know, uses it to introduce him, and also to point out to who Paul was, you know, and he was here reaching out to Timothy. And in Timothy, you know, Paul did not hide his love. You know, he didn't sugarcoat it. He just said, you know, he is a beloved son. He is a beloved son. And also in 1 Timothy 1:2 and the other letter, you know, he called to Timothy a true son of faith. So he was acknowledging him. He was an example of what love is, you know, that he was not afraid to share the love that he had for the brethren, the love that he had for someone. You know, in verse 3, he goes into, and he says, I thank God whom I serve, you know, with a pure conscience, you know, that, you know, day and night. You know, I don't stop praying for you. I don't stop ceasing to remember you in my prayers. So he lifting him up, and he says, I am praying for you. I am praying for you. In Ephesians 1:16, Paul says, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Prayer is such a vital thing. It's such a vital thing in our Christian walk. Prayer is communication with the Father. Prayer, you know, is us talking to him and sharing, you know, our heart. And here, you know, Paul, you know, he prayed, you know, for Timothy, you know, not just once, but it says day and night. That is a continuous prayer, an ongoing prayer for a loved one. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, you know, it says, pray without ceasing. Again, continuous prayer was being lifted up for the brethren. So, and that is the love, you know, that one has. And it's, for me, it's like the love of a father, you know, for us. And he calls him his son. So that means that he had a place in Paul's heart, you know. And in verse 4, it says, greatly desiring to see you, be mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy. Mindful of your tears, you know. So he's remembering Timothy. He's remembering the difficult times that Timothy probably has had, you know, because he says that I'm remembering your tears, you know. And that word tears, you know, it's sorrow. It's a struggle that somebody could have been having. But here, Paul is mentioning that. But he is also mentioning that I long to see you. that I, you know, by seeing you, my joy is going to be filled. You know, that's like me saying, hey, Nicole, I can't wait to see you, and it brings me great joy when I'm going to come together with you. Yeah, you know, and that makes me feel good. It makes her feel good, you know, but then when it really comes together, then that's the explosion. That's the explosion of the intimacy, you know, between two people, you know, and it's God-centered. And that's what Paul was referring to. It's the love of a father. He said, I can't wait to see you. I can't wait to see you. You know, so he was constantly thinking about him, you know. And it goes into verse 5. It says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother at the Louise and in your mother Eunice, you know, I can see it in you. I can see it in you. So here is the importance of passing it on to our children, passing on our love, passing on, you know, certain tradition, passing on that, you know, the way that we should be, you know, because, you know, sometimes we don't see the results right away. Sometimes they go off and they do whatever, you know, and you're going like this, scratching your head, saying, when is this kid going to get it? When is this kid going to turn around? But, you know, we got to do it. And you plant it out there. God will bring it to full around. And God will bless them anyway. And they will remember one day. So here, you know, it is important that we pass this on, that pass on what we received. In 1 Timothy 4:6, he said, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister, also a good teacher of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and a good doctrine, which you have carefully followed. So here he's referring to passing it on, nourishing. And that's what we do. And that's what he was trying to do here for Timothy, you know. And when I was reading this, it just reminded me, you know, because he talked about his grandmother and he talks about his mom, Timothy's. And it just took me back, you know. I remember back in the day when I had long hair and whatnot, especially when I was little. I remember my grandma. She always used to, always a prayer woman. She was always on her knees. You know, this is the typical woman that you would go into the house. Where's grandma? Oh, she's probably praying in the corner, you know, and she's over there on her knees praying. And the same thing, my titi. Her name was Nicolasa, so Nico will be easier to understand. But she will always pray. She will always come and she'll say, okay, fold your hands like this. I remember, fold your hands like this, and then you pray. And we used to pray together. And this passage, as I'm reading it, it just took me way back then that what they have done. And here, Paul is mentioning this to Timothy. It is so vital that we pass on the love that we have received from the Lord to our loved ones and our family, because we are the example. We are the reflection of God's love to them because of what he did for us. So we need to cherish, we need to pass it on, that they could be nurtured in the ways of the Lord. That way, when they get older, like me, I don't forget. I remember my grandma. I remember my titi. And I can pass that on to my children, the importance of them passing it on to their children's children, you know, and that's such a blessing. You know, every prayer that we have made is still active. It's still active, and it will come to pass. Every prayer that you have made is still active. Just because you have prayed and just because you haven't heard or received anything, that doesn't mean that that prayer went down another road and the Lord doesn't have it. Every prayer he has, every prayer in time will tell, will come to pass. And especially when you're praying for your loved ones, God has a way of turning things around for our family. So don't be discouraged, but be encouraged. Because Paul here, he was an encourager. He's writing this letter to Timothy. He's sharing these things with Timothy, you know, and he's the one in chains. He's the one that's going through it. But yet, in his struggle, he's remembering. the brethren. He's remembering the one that he calls his son, and in here, Paul, in verse 6, he says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gifts which you have received, through the laying of hands. Stir up the gifts. 1 Timothy 4:14, it says, do not neglect the gifts that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, which by the laying of hands of the eldership. In other words, what has been given to you, you need to pass it on. You need to pass it on. The blessings that God has given you, you need to pass it on to someone else. The teachings that you have received, you need to pass it on. And you need to stir up those gifts that the Lord has given you. Because he says there, I remind you to stir those gifts up. And many of you are good teachers. Many of you, are good workers. You all do different things in the kingdom of God and in your home. You wear many hats, I call it. You wear many hats, but we need to make sure that the gifts that the Lord has given us, that we use them. If you have the gift of speaking, and I know you ladies out there, you know how to talk. You know how to talk and you know how to share. God has given you words for somebody. God has given you encouragement for somebody. And you need to put it out that you need to use those gifts, because sometimes we are the only voice they're going to hear. We are the only voice that they're going to listen to. Sometimes, we're the only one that's going to say something that might hurt a little bit, like, hey, you better get it right with God. Shake it off. Let's move on. And give them good, solid advice, of going forward, of moving forward. Don't stay in where you're at. Sometimes, good encouragement for me is more like kicking the butt, so to speak, And I tell the guys, if you want to hear something pretty from me, you're probably going to hear something you don't want to hear, because I'm going to tell you the truth. The truth may hurt, but the truth is going to put you right back on track. Why? Because I do it in love. I do it in love. I'm not here to be everybody's friend, but I'm here to present the gospel. I'm here to present the word of God. And sometimes the word of God, my rub us the wrong way, because the way, the God is speaking, or the way the word is saying to us, but we need to be mindful to use what God has given you, because there are those that are waiting to hear it. So he said to stir up those gifts, and here we go into verse 7 and say, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. The word fear in this particular version, in the Greek translation, it's referring to a person who flees from battle, a coward who flees from battle. That is the word fear here. There's like a person who flees, who runs away, but God has given us the spirit of power, That's anointing. Power is authority, to speak for you, and God has given us that power in Christ Jesus. Power to speak, power to declare, I went into Romans 8, 14 to 17, it says, for as many as you are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons, and I incorporate sons and daughters. Come on, because they always say sons, and I want to include everybody. It says, because when it says sons, it's referring to everybody, okay? So it says sons and daughters of God, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. You did not receive that spirit, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. That is so profound that we can call out Abba, Father. That is like saying, Daddy, Daddy, Lord, Lord, my Father, someone that we can turn to. So we have been, adopted into the family of the Lord. In verse 16, it says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. that we are children of God. And I took it one step further again. I said that I put there, I am a child of God. You know, I made it personal, you know, because in the first portion, you say, we are children of God, talking about everybody. But now I'd like to make it personal. It says that I am a child of God, you know, in a position of power, to be a child of God, a position of power, you know. And it says in verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God with joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also glorify together. You know, we need to stand. We need to stand by the word. We need to make sure that we declare what God has given us. And Paul was mentioning, you know, in his letter to Timothy, to stir up these gifts. Stir up this gift. Don't be silent. Don't be silent. Lately, that God's been telling me, you know, you got to say what you got to say. You got to share it. Sometimes, you know, individuals may not want to hear it, but we have to be honest and we have to be truthful and we have to share with them and we have to give them what the Lord has given to us. So I find myself, okay, in position that, okay, how am I going to say this? How am I going to speak this? How am I going to teach this? Whatever it is, and Lord, that he will give me the words. And guess what? He will give you the words. He will show you. Because Paul constantly says to do everything in love. Do everything in love. Because love, you know, it's what's going to blend everything together. In Proverbs 28:1, he says, the wicked flee when no one pursues them, but the righteous are bold as a lion. The righteous are bold as a lion. We have to be bold. We have to make sure that we are ready, that we are ready to speak and to share. Acts 4:31, it says, and when they have prayed, and when they have prayed, again, prayer is important, you know, it says, he said, the place that they were in assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. With boldness. You know, the presence of God, the God in your lives, you know, that in the Holy Spirit, when we receive the Lord and we receive the Holy Spirit, that builds us up, that gives us boldness. Peter, he denied Christ three times because he was afraid. Three times because they asked him and he was afraid and he denied Christ. And guess what? When he received the Holy Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit gave him boldness to proclaim. And he was the first. He was the first to step up, you know, and in front of a crowd and speak what was happening, because, you know, the Holy Spirit gives us authority. The Holy Spirit gives us boldness to speak. And the Holy Spirit will also tell you what to say, what we need to say. Sometimes when we don't know what to say, I always tell people, if you don't know what to say, say nothing. Because then we might say the wrong thing. But go in prayer. Go in prayer. Go into your prayer closet. Have a one-on-one with the Lord, you know, and say, Lord, what is it that I need to say and how to say it? And he will direct your step. Guarantee. I have been in places I didn't know what to say. And I remember, I shared this a little while back, but I remember one time, I don't know, my time is running out. Yeah. Oh, I remember one time that I was in church. And I was in praying before the Lord, and the Lord said, okay, you got to go out there. You got to go to the front, you know? And I said, how can I go to the front? I'm not supposed to go to the front. And my heart was, I could feel my heart going like this. I feel my heart coming out. It was in my throat. I said, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? I know if I go to the pastor, that he would give me permission. I said, what am I going to say? And then the Lord just nudged me again and says, go. And sometimes we just need to take a step. Sometimes we just need to take two steps. Sometimes we might need to take three steps. But I started to walk down the aisle, and it seemed like it's such a long aisle. And as I walk, I was getting more and more filled with the presence of God. And as I got to the front, and I spoke to them, they gave me the mic. And then as soon as they gave me the mic, I spoke a word of encouragement to the church. I spoke a word of edification, and the place busted out. The place busted out. Why? Because they needed to hear a word that morning. They were waiting to hear a word that morning. And guess who had the word? I had the word, but I didn't know I had the word, but I had to take a step of faith. A lot of times we don't know what to say. You know, we don't know what to say, but if you take a step of faith, Lord, I do this unto you. You give me the words, and guess what? He will give you the words. It will knock your socks off when he does this, because he says, you just blew my mind. All of a sudden, I had no words to say, but I knew I had to say something. And then I exploded, and it was such a blessing, such a blessing. So God will always show up when we put ourselves in a position to be used by the Lord. He will explode. So get ready to open up your mouth and let the Lord speak through you. Come on, because a lot of you have a lot of words to say. God has given you a lot of things, a lot of blessings, a lot of teachings, and you have them, and you haven't shared them yet. So now is the time. Now is the time to take a step of faith and speak the word of God. Speak the word of God. And the only way we can do this is by love. It's by loving one another and do everything in love. In John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another." Again, I go back to that word of love. "As I have loved you, that you also love one another." By this, verse 35 says, "By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And here's what Paul was teaching. Paul was teaching love. He was reaching out to his son, Timothy, and he was using all these beautiful words. "I have not ceased from praying for you. I have not ceased from lifting you up." You know, so here, this word power, you know, "I did not give you the spirit, you know, of fear, you know, but of power. That word just took me. And from there, you know, he said, "For the word of power and of love," you know, of love, you know, and love is so important, that we do everything in love, you know, that we can speak all that we need to speak in love, and just know that he is working it out for us. You know, it goes into love, that they will know that you are my disciples. We do it in love, they're going to know that you are my disciple. And he says, do everything in love. He says, and of a sound mind is a mind that has control, that is not wavering. A sound mind is not going all over the place, but it's right there. It's a sound mind. You're not going to the left, you're not going to the right, but you are controlling it, and you have self-control. Romans 8:6, it says, "To be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life," excuse me, "life and peace." Life and peace. When we are spiritually minded, we have life and we have peace. We are not all over the place, but we have peace. You know, and it goes, you know, my time is already up. I'm just a couple of more and I'm done. And I'm not, therefore, in verse 8, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering according to the gospel and the power of God." So be ready. Be ready to share. Be ready to share. And do not be ashamed. Not be ashamed, because there's nothing to be ashamed from. People are waiting to hear from you. People are waiting to hear from me. A word of encouragement, a word of life, a word of peace. People are ready to hear. And sometimes we are that voice. We are that voice. The word of God says, open up your mouth and I will fill it. Open up your mouth. And that's what happened to me in my little testimony that I just shared. I opened up my mouth and God filled it. God filled it. Afterwards, I was still scratching my head. Where did that word come from? But God is faithful. God is faithful to bring it forward, to bring it forward. You know, so we need to be ready to share the testimony. Somebody's out there is waiting to hear from you. And just like Paul here, he's telling Timothy, you know, you're my son, you know, and he's giving him all of this word of encouragement. Do not be ashamed. Use what God has given you. In 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all loving, suffering, and teaching. Be ready in season and out of season. I believe this is the season for many of you guys. Many of you guys, this is the season. You've been saying to yourself, when is my time? When is it going to come? When is the doors going to open? When am I going to have an opportunity? The Lord is saying it. Now it is. Now it is. What's holding you back is you yourself. Because, sometimes we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. I can't do this. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to do this. And God is still telling you. Somebody just posted something. I can't read all the stuff that shows up over here because I'm concentrating on my word over here. Well, get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. Peter saw Jesus walking on the water. Everybody was screaming, but Peter was the one that got out of the boat. And he jumped out of the boat and started to walk towards Jesus. Hey, he started to go down when he took his eyes off Jesus. But guess what? Jesus was right there to lift him up. But the most important thing is that he did something. The most important thing that he moved. The most important thing is that he moved and God takes care of the rest. You open up your mouth, God is going to fill it. Whatever it is that you have to do, you start doing it, God is going to supply. God is going to meet the need. God is going to open up doors. Doors that have been closed, God is about to open them up. Supernatural breakthrough. This is a word for somebody. Supernatural breakthrough is coming. It's right there. If you just hold on tight and remain faithful and say, Lord, I'm going to do this for your kingdom. And guess what? You don't need to provide. He's going to provide. He's going to open up the doors for you. And then you're going to be blown away how God is going to move, because we serve a supernatural God, and he has given us authority to proclaim the word of the Lord, authority to speak it forth, authority to share our testimony. And that's what Paul here, he's stirring up Timothy. And I hope I'm stirring up somebody here this morning, but God is faithful and he's making a way for you and he's about to explode. I believe things are beginning to happen. Look, last week, you guys had the big grand reopening of the church, and God bless you guys over there. Unfortunately, I couldn't be there, but, I was there in spirit and in heart. But, God is doing miracles today, just like he did back in the day. He has not changed, but I believe that there's more to come. I believe there's more to come and it's coming. I'm getting itchy. And when I get itchy, that means something is about to happen. Something is about to happen. So I'm expecting breakthrough that you have never seen before. The miracles that you've been praying for are going to be fulfilled. Hey, we're in the Hernandez clan. We're walking in a miracle right now. Hallelujah. We're walking in a miracle. I see my wife day by day get stronger and stronger, I'm the caregiver. That's why I don't get out. I'm not getting out as often as I used to, but I gotta still help her, and they put it all on me. They say, They said, okay, you got to take care of that mess. You got to take care of this. You got to take care of this. You got to take it to the appointments. You got to do all this stuff. It's a lot of requirement. But you know what? I call it a journey. We are in this journey and we are doing it together and we're moving forward. But I see God's hand. While men thought that it was impossible, God said it is possible. While men said that it would take 5 to 7 years, guess what? God did it in less than 6 months. You know, less than 6 months. When you think about that, say like, oh my God, you know, and guess what? And he did it on Good Friday. What bigger miracle is that? From life, from death to life, from death to life, you know, and everything is moving right along. And, you know, and that's just for you guys to hear, you know, that everything is going good in the Hernandez family. It's still a lot of more steps that we got to go through, a lot of more things that we got to take care of. But God is faithful. We see his hand at work. We're walking in a miracle. And I believe there's miracles that are about to explode in the kingdom of God. You know, man wants to shut down the kingdom of God and shut down the church. And God is saying, ain't no way. Ain't no way. Ain't no way. Ain't no way. There's nothing that's going to stop the move of God. Nothing that's going to stop the anointing that's going to break through. And he's breaking through all over the place. When you look at the news and you look at what's happening in the faith community, how God is exploding all over the United States and overseas, you know, so, you know, God is on the move. And I say, get ready, get ready, get ready, because more is coming. Get ready, get ready. And I'm even going to leave you with this. You know, I believe that God is going to move such a powerful way that you may not, you're not even going to have a chance to pray for an individual. You're just going to go to that individual. That individual is going to be out. That individual is going to be under the power of God. That individual, God is going to arrest them right where they're at. I believe that. I believe that, you know, in the parking lot itself, I'm in the parking lot. You're going to see people praying by the cars. As they come in, the anointing is going to be so tangible, so powerful, that right there, that's when the Holy Spirit is going to touch it, even before they come in the doors. Come on now. When you see it, when it starts to happen, you're going to remember these words that I said them today, that's what's going to happen. I believe people are going to start walking in the doors and falling in the presence of God and falling in the presence of God. And you're going to say, what's happening? What's happening? It is the presence of God. And that's what Paul here is teaching Timothy about, the presence of God. Paul was lacking. Paul was in chain. Paul was suffering, but he was suffering, but he was more free than some of us today. He was more free because he was preaching. He was declaring. He was happy. He was saying, my son, my beloved, you know, and rejoice in the Lord always, you know. So he was giving all these beautiful words, and he's the one suffering. So I say, like, wow, what a testimony, what a testimony. Anyway, my time is over. I really went over this time, but I pray that you guys receive something. I know I didn't finish it, but I try to do my best in the time that I have. But I did want to share a little bit what's happening here at the Hernandez clan. You know, get ready for more. Get ready for more. God is on the move. I'm expecting miracles. I'm expecting things to happen. So please, please, please focus, focus, focus. You know, you are worthy to receive the blessings of God. Don't knock yourself. You are worthy to receive his blessing, and his promises are yes and amen. So get ready for what God's going to do in this season of your life. Because I'm ready. I'm ready. If you see me running around the church or something, you know, okay, Hernandez is at it again. I say, well, that's okay. That's the craziness of who I am, because that's how God uses me. Anyway, my brothers and sisters, I love you, love you, love you. Keep your focus. Keep your focus. Let us pray. Father God, I just thank you for this time that you have given us. Thank you for this moment, Father. I pray that you will bless your children, Father. You know their needs. You know their wants. You know their desires, Father. Whatever it is that they may be lacking today, I pray, Father God, that you will be the provider, that you will bring it forth, Father God. But if it's sickness, Father God, we rebuke the sickness in the mighty name of Yeshua, the God of Israel. In Jesus' mighty name, we rebuke that sickness and we declare healing and restoration. healing and restoration. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for what you're doing in our homes and in our families, in our community, in the church, upon the pastors and upon our leadership, Father God. I pray that you will continue to move in a powerful way, Lord. We give you the praise, we give you the glory, we give you the honor, and we thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. Thank you for illuminating us, for filling us, for covering us, Lord God, and help us to be bold like Paul was, Father God, bold enough to declare and decree your word, Father. Help us to move forward in you. I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. All right, guys. All right, guys. Have a blessed weekend. You know, I'll see you soon. I'll see you soon. You know, pretty soon I'll be there. All right. God bless you all.